I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I am your host, Mike Madison, and I offer you a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there, then this is your spot, 2 hours a day. Got a lot to get to today. I'm going to start out with some good news, some positive news. I tell you what, I'm constantly reminded of what human beings are capable of on the good side of things. If you strip out the government and, well, just the government. You strip out the government and politics, I think we just have no earthly idea what life would even look like that way. If we did, if we actually embraced this, then I think there's a chance we might drop some of this stuff. We might just start laughing at these people, or what my preference is, I've stated it many times, just to really ignore our political class. Just decide, we're done. You're not going to boss us around anymore. We're not going to do what you say. What you say is really meaningless to us. Now, we've got a problem there. The police are the enforcers of what politicians do. We're going to have to win over the hearts and minds of law enforcement here in this country. That's not so easy. More about that later. But I ran across just a tweet. It's a tweet, but it's a video. I should pull it up and look at it. It's so inspiring. It's apparently some small kid, looks to be maybe 8 or 9 years old, is battling cancer. He's in a wheelchair, and he wanted to have a few Harley drivers drive by, kind of a rolling thunder, a little mini rolling thunder. Apparently, from what this video says and the footage that's included in it, 20,000 Harley riders showed up to drive past this kid in the wheelchair. You can imagine the sound of 20,000 Harley riders as they took their time to voluntarily, with no needs whatsoever, no requirements, no nothing. They just decided that they wanted to do something nice for this kid. Obviously, the Harley community must be very, very tight-knit, very uniquely American in this Harley crowd. But it is so inspiring to see this stuff. You know, people will come to the aid of other people. You do not need the government, all you people, particularly on the left. You really don't need this government. They have sold you a bill of goods telling you that you are so helpless that you cannot encounter any obstacles in life without the government coming in and helping you. Boy, my God, there are people out there ready and willing to help each other. I just constantly imagine my little utopia where the politicians are out of our lives, and that includes all of them, unfortunately. Your guy, whoever it is not the exception. Politics and our government is a cancer on our society. We would do just so fine without them. Libertarian Party has put out a tweet. This will be the first of my quotes of the day today. Libertarian Party put out a tweet about common sense gun control. I've told you the Libertarian Party has changed dramatically in the last 2 weeks. And I ask you conservatives out there, you particularly you Second Amendment people, who you think is better tasked to handle Second Amendment issues. Of course, that's a Republican issue, right? The same Republicans that have got a huge apparatus. They always, you know, you can follow the Republican Pat Toomey as he tries to get half of the caucus to support some common sense, air quotes here in the studio, common sense gun reform. Republicans always just give a little in order to satisfy the mob coming after your guns. But they tell you that they're true Second Amendment people. The Republican Party has created the police state, which is actively in many states around the country enforcing the gun laws of blue states. Here's what the Libertarian Party said about common sense gun control. It's pretty clear. says abolish the ATF, repeal the National Firearms Act of 1934, repeal the Gun Control Act of 1963, repeal all red flag laws, enact unrestricted permitless carry, ridicule gun-grabbing politicians, encourage gun printing by individuals, decriminalize automatic weapons. If you're a Second Amendment adherent, I got to tell you, you think your home is with the Republican Party, but I encourage you to take a look at the new and improved Libertarian Party if you want to protect your guns. I'm going to get into some financial news in just a second, but Kim.com, I don't know if you remember this guy. Big, heavyset guy. I think he's down in New Zealand. Kim.com, one of these people that been persecuted by the government. I believe he's a pretty libertarian guy, but he has done a... I think he put out a thread. I'm not sure if he wrote this somewhere, if it came out as a Twitter thread, and I don't even actually have it ahead of me, but it's really about what he sees coming for the economy, and he believes it's all deliberate. But what I found more interesting, and I'm going to add it as here, kind of a quotes of the day, was I read a story about Kim.com as he explains what he sees coming for the economy and how they're going to use this to create the Great Reset. And there were a couple of comments under it that I thought were interesting. First comment said, people think that the global elite are trying to kill us. They are actually setting the stage for us to kill each other. Once the food and fuel run out, it's game over, Mad Max style. And the second comment was, but that is still them killing us. They just turn the population against itself by pitting the fake right-left paradigm against each other. This is what I see. This is what I see every single day and rage against on this show. You're all in the same boat, and you're fighting amongst each other. Commenter goes on to say, this is why I got off Twitter. You can watch the fighting between, quote, right and left, unquote, but it's actually what the cabal wants. People on the, quote, right on Twitter who have large followings are simply compounding the problems and are stirring up the anger so people take sides. They try to come off as reporters and saviors, but they are helping the cabal unwittingly. I believe this. I do believe this. There's a lot of stuff on the left that's very aggravating. I think it's certainly for the people that are putting this stuff out, these very small people, the very small segment of society that has seemed to have lost their ever-loving mind, certainly deserves some ridicule, but the idea that everybody who doesn't vote like me is a demon is exactly what the cabal wants. You know, I buy gas too. Horrors on horrors, this is how the gas crisis has affected me. I have a two-door sports sedan. It's a little twin-turbo car. I really do enjoy it. It's a fun little car to drive. I have had to switch to eco mode. Oh, it's horrible. Your pickup's not the same. And I'd be honest with you, I don't even know if it makes any difference. I'm going to start looking at it. My car still gets, even with what it is, it gets around 26, 27 miles a gallon combined. I did find on my road trips, I get over 30 miles a gallon as long as I'm going 75, 80 miles an hour. So if they're really concerned with us burning less fossil fuels and they need to raise the speed limit, at least for my car, up to around at least 80, 85 miles an hour, I seem to do great around there. But I have had to switch my car to eco mode. I don't have to, but I'm going to, because it is just sickening to pay these prices at the pump. Another benefit of my car is a black on black. It's black exterior, black interior, and I was actually able to heat my ribs in my car on Saturday. That was kind of nice. I actually thought ahead of time to do this. I was going somewhere. I stopped by the store. I got myself a nice rack of ribs. You know, I'm doing keto. I'm eating a lot of meat, a lot of fat. Thought some ribs would fit that bill. But I had to get them early because I was going somewhere, and I knew I wasn't going to eat for a while. So I said, well, I'm going to be parked in the sun. I'll just leave my ribs sitting here in the car. And boy, were they nice and toasty and tender. So the Mississippi heat delivering for us. I'm going to take a quick break and come back to some of this financial news. I talked last week on Friday about the $8.3 trillion shortfall in government pensions. These are across the spectrum, local pensions, any state-funded pensions, $8.3 trillion underfunded, meaning they have made promises to their pensioners that they cannot deliver on. The shortfall is $8.3 trillion dollars. Well, what about Social Security? Well, a new report is out about that, too. You may not have a state pension. Doubt many government workers probably listen to this show with much regularity. Well, I take that back. I actually think I've got a lot of people that work for the government that contact me, and a lot of people have done what has financially been very smart in the past. I know a lot of people who went in and put in their time, put in their 20, 25 years with a state institution, and then they come out and they're, you know, their mid-40s and start a second career with a full lifetime pension from their state work. Financially, that's a home run, great decision, or at least it has been. You might be careful. That lifetime pension that you had may not be exactly what you thought it was going forward if they don't plug this hole or if inflation keeps raging. But what about Social Security? Everybody out there is expecting Social Security, and I have a very unpopular view on Social Security here at the station. I'll reiterate my very unpopular view on Social Security when we come back, and then we're going to take a look at the state of that particular program. If you're under 55 years old, it's time to be very, very concerned. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
I have a fairly regimented show here. Since the inception of this show back in 2017, I've had segments that I do weekly. My longest running one is Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. I do every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I started the very first week of the show. When I pitched this show to WYAB, I said I wanted this to be part of it because I'm an adherent. I'm a zealot for escaping the medical system and reclaiming your health. I do False Flag Friday. I've been doing that for several years. This week on the Crazy Train, a little bit of Tech Tuesday. I got stuff for tomorrow. I don't know if you've been following some of the tech news. We may have let the genie out of the bottle with this AI. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But there's one thing, it's not necessarily a segment, but I think it is the longest running continual story that I've reported on, and it is this story that comes out every month, every quarter. Since I started the show 5.5 years ago, the federal government collected a record $3,374,629,000,000 in total taxes in the first 8 months of fiscal 2022. Before this year, the largest October through May federal tax collection came in fiscal 2021 when the Treasury collected $2,833,000,000,000. So they have collected an extra. They have beat the previous record of how much money the federal government has taken out of the private economy by an extra $540 billion, or 19% more. So this goes, again, these stories are always the same. But vote a little harder this November. I'm sure you'll fix it. Again, I said I started the show in 2017. At the time, we were about to inaugurate a Republican president to preside over a Republican Senate and a Republican House. And every month these stories came out. Record tax collections and followed on in the third paragraph. This is always CNS News that reports this stuff to us. And every time they report basically the same thing. I guess they've just got this structure. Hopefully they've just made a template to save themselves some time. And they just change the numbers in there. While collecting its record $3,374,629,000,000 in taxes in the first 8 months of fiscal 2022, the federal government also spent $3,800,854,000,000 and thus ran a deficit of $426,226,000,000. I've been doing this story every time it came across the news feed for 5.5 years now, and every one of them is exact same. Record tax collections along with record spending and deficits. And they've done it again. So the government, we do not have a collection problem with the federal government. And yet at the same time, somehow they're allowing those things that Americans truly depend on to wither on the vine. If you're under You know, I said 55. I might say 60, 65. Look, if you're collecting Social Security right now, let me go ahead and tell you my wildly unpopular view of Social Security and anybody who is receiving it. If you are receiving Social Security, you are actually taking money stolen from younger workers and taking it for yourself now. It's ill-gotten gains. Now, this always makes people mad. I'm not going to take your calls right now. I've got a lot to get through this hour. This usually engenders some calls because this makes people very angry. And I get it. I would be angry if I was you, too. People say, no, Mike, I paid in. This isn't an entitlement. They took that money from me. I'm just getting my money back. Well, first of all, if you do the math of what most people put in for Social Security, if you live past the age of about 75, you're way to the good. But second of all, those older generations, the baby boomers who are collecting Social Security right now, the Congress told you to your face, hey, we're going to steal all that money that's in this Social Security, air quotes here in the studio, trust fund. We're going to take that money and we're going to go ahead and spend it now and just put IOUs in there. They told you this to your face. And you yawned and turned on some more sports ball. They stole your money a long time ago. And this wasn't a secret that we've just uncovered. No, they told you. They're taking your money, your Social Security contributions. They're dumping them into the general fund and Congress is going to spend it. And what did you say for that? Exactly. Nothing. You said nothing. They spent your money. You allowed them to steal it from you, and they spent it. The money that you're getting now is part of a Ponzi scheme. The money that you are getting in Social Security benefits is being taken from the paychecks of people who are now working. A lot of young people that we all know will never see anything of any value from Social Security for the reasons I'm about to state. So I understand your anger about the fact you don't think this is a government entitlement because you're a conservative and you wouldn't take entitlements and you don't want to be, you know, somebody on welfare. And they did steal the money from you. You allowed that. And then you allowed them to steal the money that they had set aside for you, supposedly, in this Social Security Trust Fund. You let that happen. And so now the money you get is actually coming from somebody else who is actually producing. The problem is not as many people producing now for as many people are retiring. When it comes to Social Security, this is from a latest annual report by Social Security trustees. Programs payouts have exceeded revenue since 2010, but the recent past is nowhere near as grim as the future. The gap between promised benefits and future payroll tax revenue has reached a staggering, anyone? $59.8 trillion. Now, these numbers are bandied about so much, I've got to bring my favorite statistic. A trillion seconds, were you to count to a trillion, 1 second per number, a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. That's how big this number is. The gap between proposed benefits and future payroll tax revenue has reached a staggering $59.8 trillion. That gap is $6.8 trillion, larger than it was just 1 year earlier. Biggest driver of that move wasn't COVID-19, but rather a lowering of expected fertility over the coming decades. Quote, politicians promised you benefits but never funded them. That's according to truthandaccounting.org, which noted that there's a $96.3 trillion owed in promised but unfunded Medicare and Social Security benefits, $55.1 trillion for Medicare and $41.2 trillion for Social Security. Politicians that go up on Capitol Hill, Republican and Democrat, that tell you, we're protecting your Social Security, they're doing nothing of the sort. They just know that old people vote, so they don't want to change the benefits or the retirement age or maybe free the younger people from this Ponzi scheme. While Uncle Sam has $5.9 trillion in assets, the $129 trillion owed in bills, including military and civilian retirement benefits, means the U.S. is in the hole for $123 trillion. Just the unfunded liabilities in Medicare and Social Security add up to $96 trillion. It's a stunning amount coming due over the next 75 years. The Treasury Department sticks its proverbial head in the sand and does not even list the liabilities on the balance sheet of the federal government. That's according to Adam Adrzejewski. And there is a chart. I'm going to get into it. I'll go ahead and take a break here real quick. There's one chart, if people could understand, and you can access this. I'm bad about narrating charts here on a radio show. Not a great thing, but there's just one chart. Everybody can pull it up, do it later. If you understand this one chart, it'd be my dream for all Americans to understand one chart, and you might pull your head out of the political theater of how inflation is narrated to us now. If you would understand this one chart, I'm going to talk about it in just a second, and you can take a look with me online if you'd like to. It's called the M1 money supply chart. M1 money supply. The Federal Reserve puts this out. You understand this one chart, you might actually understand economics, and you'd certainly be leaps and bounds above your friends and your relatives when it comes to understanding inflation. I'll be right back.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Did you pull it up? Are you at a spot where you can pull it up? This is the M1 money supply chart. My great dream is that, you know, if I was Americans for Prosperity or talking about spending more, getting less, if I was a politician and I had the ear of constituents, I might just teach them this one chart to understand what is happening to them right now. It wouldn't have to have an R or a D. It doesn't have to play into the political theater. It's one chart. It's called the M1 money stock chart. And this is put out actually by the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. They'll tell you straight to your face what they're doing because they know you won't understand it. Nobody knows what this is. M1 money stock chart. It's that easy on an internet search. Almost nobody understands this, especially those who are partisans or lovers or haters of either side. This chart is really wildly inconvenient to a whole lot of people when it comes to playing partisan stuff. I just don't do that on the show. I'm unconstrained by love of party or politician, so I can tell you the truth. If you look at this chart, it's a chart of how much money is being created. It's essentially the money printing chart. Shows you what it is. It starts around 1970. Now, this is really when the money printing gets kicked off, when we got pulled off the gold standard and they started printing up money. And you can look at this chart and it pretty much just starts a nice steady incline through the 1970s, 1980s. Starts going a little crazy in the early 1990s and they pull it back a tad bit in the 90s. And then 2000 comes and the war on terror, the Medicare Part D, prescription drug benefit. This is when we really start spending money, and then comes the financial crisis. Holy cow. Now, the money printing that took place up to the financial crisis was one of the reasons we had the great financial crisis in the first place. They didn't tell you that, did they? They told you it was just a bunch of people irresponsibly going out and buying homes. It's their fault. But what this chart will show you, if anyone actually cares to see what's going on, is that money printing is just eroded away, because you can kind of think about the standard of living of Americans. You can juxtapose this as with home affordability indexes. I told you the other day that the height of home affordability was in 1970. And it's been declining ever since. I mean, it's not a straight line. Obviously, there's times where homes did dip in price during the financial crisis. But it pretty much, all of these erosion of our standard of living. You can put these charts up with this money printing chart and finally understand exactly what's going on. And so all this money printing has been eroding away for decades the purchasing power, also known as the standard of living, for most Americans, particularly the bottom about 90%. And this chart shows the rapid acceleration after the financial crisis. Now, here's the thing that people need to understand, and they won't, but I'm about to expose it in just a second. It shows a huge increase during the Obama years. I mean, this is when the money printing really went crazy. And the Trump years. The great economy that the Trump supporters brag about, and Trump himself takes credit for, it was the sugar high of money printing, and now we're having that sugar crash. I want you to look at this chart, the M1 money stock. Federal Reserve chart, you will see that the line of money printing between the Obama administration and the Trump administration is basically unchanged. It's the same trajectory. It's a 45-degree line going up until Trump's last year in office. And, of course, not only the financial crisis kick off the ramp up in money printing during the Obama terms, then the Trump terms, and then we had the great COVID crisis. The war on COVID. And that is when this line goes straight up. Almost straight up. Now, what else you will notice when you look at this chart, M1 money stock, again, this is the Federal Reserve's admission of exactly what they're doing to you, praying, well, not even praying, they just know. Most people will never see this chart, won't care about it, won't take the time to think about it. What you'll notice during this chart, because it's a long time, it's from 1970, the money chart, the money printing, it rises during Republican presidents. It rises during Democrat presidents. It rises during Republican Congresses. It rises during Democrat Congresses. Neither party, not Donald Trump, more on that in a second, has ever stopped this train of money printing. Every single one of you have voted for this current inflation. Now, I know conservatives right now love to point to high prices right now and tell the Biden voters that they are responsible for this. Well, they are. Biden will certainly make this worse. No doubt about it. The money printing has been insane during Biden's first year in office, and he has plans that would require them to print up a ton more money. Whether it's the Ukrainian conflict with Russia or the Green New Deal or any of the harebrained ideas that the left has, they will certainly exacerbate that because, as I say, the Federal Reserve and money printing, that's the Death Star. That's where all our problems come from. That's the biggest threat to the United States. It's not China. It's not Russia. It's not Iran. It's not even transgenderism. And I understand everybody fighting back about against that in the schools. I mean, there's all the stories there are insane. I do not minimize anybody who's fighting that level of the culture war. But if you want to know what the real threat to your children is, to their future, this is the chart you need to look at. You need to understand it. So conservatives who tell you that, well, it's those Biden voters who voted for all this inflation. I hope you like it. I got to tell you, I'm looking at, 50 years of voting. And this thing just goes up and up. But the Obama years, everybody who voted for Barack Obama, who put in Ben Bernanke as the Federal Reserve chairman, who printed all this money during the Obama administration, you Obama voters, you voted for this inflation. And then Trump. Trump comes in and he replaces Janet Yellen with Jerome Powell, and Jerome Powell prints up endless amounts of money. You Trump voters, you're responsible for this inflation too. Now, a lot of people are too tribal. They don't want to face that truth. You just take a look at this M1 money stock chart. Spike Cohen was the vice presidential candidate on the horrific Libertarian Party ticket in 2020. They had such an opportunity and they just were terrible. But he was the vice presidential candidate and he's a pretty good guy. He says, it's simple. The cost of living is going up because the value of your dollar is going down. Because the Federal Reserve keeps printing out more dollars to lend to politicians who give it to the billionaire cronies who sponsor their campaigns, and they give you the bill with interest. Let me read this to you again. It's simple. This is Spike Cohen, Libertarian vice presidential candidate, explaining it to anybody who actually wants to listen. He says, it's simple. The cost of living is going up because the value of your dollar is going down. Because the Federal Reserve keeps printing out more dollars to lend to politicians who give it to the billionaire cronies who support their campaigns. And they give you the bill with interest. That's what you're paying for. When I come back, I'm going to show you. Whoa, Larry Kudlow. I picked on him a lot when he was the National Economic Advisor to the Trump campaign. Well, he has some balls to say what he said on Fox Business just a couple of days ago. I'm going to play that, and then we're going to go back and listen to some clips of him from 2018. I got to tell you, if my libertarian utopian, if they ever shrunk the federal government to 5% of the size that it is right now, and if the wheels came off the cart, I don't believe they would. Certainly worth a try. Can't go on like we're going on now, but if the wheels came off the cart and things were just chaos and it was just terrible, I'd have a hard time coming back on the radio and selling you that, pretending like I never told you to do that. Larry Kudlow has absolutely no shame. I got to tell you, I know, won't normally watch a Larry Kudlow clip, but I can't remember what it was titled, this video. It was clickbait for me. I wanted to see what he had to say. He says something very right on Fox Business the other day. But we're going to juxtapose that with a couple of clips I found from him very, very quickly in 2018, and then you make the decision on who Larry Kudlow is. You know, I know a lot of people may even not know these players' names because people don't really study economic issues much, but these are the big players. You know, I talk about Janet Yellen is out there right now. She's misdiagnosed inflation, says she couldn't have seen it coming. She blames Putin. She blames COVID. She's our Treasury Secretary now, and she just pretends like she wasn't involved with all the money printing that has created this inflation. And this is just one of my pet peeves, is these people have for generations now have gotten away with this. They create a mess. Then they parachute out into something else. They go on to MSNBC or they become Fox News contributors or whatever. And then they criticize the next administration for not supposedly handling the mess that they created in the first place. They pretend like they didn't have any responsibility for what's going on. And I don't play the partisan game, so I can call out Janet Yellen, who's serving in the Biden administration, and now I'm going to call out Larry Kudlow, who served in the Trump administration. He's got a video entitled, it's a short clip from Fox Business. I guess Fox has given him a home now. He was Donald Trump's national economic advisor. I criticized him many times when he was there. Now, Trump selected Larry Kudlow, who is a Wall Street darling. He's a longtime CNBC guy. He is a Wall Street guy. I think he worked for Bear Stearns for a long time. He is a Wall Street guy. Why do you put a Wall Street guy in charge of a country where you're supposedly serving Main Street? But that's what Trump did. He chose Larry Kudlow, his Wall Street guy, to be his economic advisor. And his video is titled, "There's Probably No Way Out of This." And I knew what I was going to get when I saw that title.
Kudlow. So today's CPI inflation report came in a lot stronger than folks expected. And in fact, there were numerous signs that not only is the inflation not peaking, but actually it may be accelerating. I'll get to that in a moment. But I feel it's my duty to report President Biden's response. Exxon made more money than God this year. That's how I responded. And then he proceeded to bash the oil companies for not drilling. Well, why aren't they drilling? Well, because they make more money and then they buy back their stock, which should be taxed. Now, I'm just paraphrasing his statement. But it's an indecipherable word salad, so I decided to spare you all of it. The gist of it is, blame big oil. And then later on, his NEC director, Brian Deese, said, if you really isolate what's going on here, Vladimir Putin decided to take on this irresponsible war. So there you have it, the blame game. Big oil, big pharma, big poultry, big Putin, big. Blame business. And of course, blame Putin. But, of course, what's driving inflation is the lagged impact of massive federal spending and borrowing and money printing. And on top of that, of course, Biden's radical environmental policies.
All right. So you hear Larry Kudlow come on. Now he couches it all. And Joe Biden is guilty of just everything he just accused him of. Joe Biden's just a train wreck. His entire administration, whoever's pulling the strings on Joe Biden, is an absolute train wreck. They're going to make your inflation worse, substantially worse. But every subsequent administration since 1970 has been making inflation worse, the last three being the most guilty, Biden, Trump, Obama. So that is Larry Kudlow. He gets to come on. He's going to, this clip is 6 minutes and 44 seconds. I guess he's not a guest on here. I guess he's got his own show on Fox Business explaining to you. And he just said it to you. He said this is the lagging effect of money printing and big government spending. Let's see what Larry Kudlow said back in 2018. This is him on CNBC. The date of this is March 29th of 2019 is when this video came out. So this one's 2019, and I've got one from 2018 as well. This is Larry Kudlow. When the Federal Reserve was raising interest rates to slow down endless printing, money printing. They were also embarking on quantitative tightening, meaning they were actually withdrawing some money out of the economy. Instead of printing, they were drawing some back, not near enough. but they were attempting to raise interest rates to tamp down so much excess borrowing. And here's what Larry Kudlow said in 2019.
Now, to talk the Fed and all of this week's developments on trade and so much more is Trump's National Economic Council Director, Larry Kudlow. You couldn't have waited an hour, Larry, and come on and told us?
Somebody stole it from a pre-tape that's not going to play for a while, but you know the game as well as I do.
Well, that is quite a statement. So, first of all, when did you change or decide that a 50 basis point rate cut is appropriate here?
Well, look, I am echoing the president's view. He's not been bashful about that view. He would also like the Fed to cease shrinking its balance sheet.
So there you go. There is Larry Kudlow saying that he and the president are on the same page back in 2019 that the Federal Reserve needs to stop not printing money. This was when the Federal Reserve was attempting to do what's called quantitative tightening. You should do some research and understand what quantitative easing and quantitative tightening means. Quantitative easing means money printing. Quantitative tightening means taking back some of that money out of the economy. And he is saying, we want them to stop taking money out of the economy and go back to printing more. He says, now, at this point, I think interest rates were around 2.5%. The stock market was tanking at the time. And he says, yeah, he wanted rate cuts, meaning he wanted to spur more, anyone, debt borrowing. He wanted to spur more borrowing. Now, again, I want to juxtapose this as to the clip he just played where he said, you know, this inflation is a consequence of all of this government spending, all of this borrowing, and all of this money printing. Yet there he is in 2019 saying that he believes, along with President Trump, that what needs to happen is that the Federal Reserve needs to encourage more borrowing, more money printing. This is from April of 2019 as well.
Labor market looks solid. Larry, that's your view. You expect to see 3% GDP growth. Some people do share that very optimistic view. This is what I struggle with. How do you reconcile that very, very constructive assessment of the U.S. economy with calls for the Fed to cut rates, Larry? How do those two things work?
Well, what he's saying is you keep telling us that the economy is doing great. It's never been stronger. Then why wouldn't you stop money printing when the economy's doing so great? Why do you need to print so much money? I mean, it seems like if the economy's doing so great, Larry Kudlow, then can't we handle higher interest rates? Do we need to keep printing money into such a great economy?
I think the issue on that is a precautionary issue. Couple points here quickly. Number one, we are facing a worldwide slowdown. You know, recession, arguably, I don't want to make that call, but Europe is not doing well. Germany itself may be in recession. That troubles us. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, there is no inflation.
There you go. Now, see, I know a lot of economists. A lot of economists were saying money printing, it's kind of like I talk a lot about eating bad food. You don't die the next day. This is why people develop very bad dietary habits. They think that if something doesn't kill them tomorrow, it must be safe to eat. 10 or 15 years down the road, they find themselves with diabetes and with cancer and everything else. But if it doesn't kill you tomorrow, it must be fine. This is Larry Kudlow saying they need to cut rates, start printing more money, because there's no inflation today. And I knew economists at the time. And I'll be honest with you. Libertarians who understand economic theories, they understand economics, saying it's not that it's not here today. And it is there today. You know, when they were reporting 1.5% inflation, you and I know it was running 4-5%. We were still seeing our prices go up. But they report it's 1.5. That's Larry Kudlow going, oh, they should cut rates and start printing more money. There's no inflation today.
There is no inflation. I mean, we're talking about maybe 1.5% max, and productivity rising at 1.8% last year. So wages are rising at whatever 3.2%, that's being covered by productivity. Without inflation, why raise interest rates? And look, we just don't want any.
Because you want to stem off the inflation that is already coming. It was a coiled spring waiting to pop. And every new dollar they printed and put on there, it was going to trigger this tsunami of inflation that we're seeing right now. And you had your economic advisor, this is 2019, Larry Kudlow, Trump's guy, saying, there's no inflation. We can keep printing. Look, we want to keep this party going.
Any threats to this rebuilding, reviving, growing economy? And looking at the yield curve and other market-based measures, I think on their time, the Fed is independent. I want to emphasize that. The Fed is independent. But the president has said, and I concur, that I think that we could do at some point with some reductions in the Fed's target rate.
Larry, the Fed...
It means cut more rates. Print more money. Larry Kudlow and the Trump administration was asking for more money printing in 2019. And that's part of the reason you're seeing inflation now. Joe Biden will make it worse. Look at the chart. M1 money stock. It's that easy. Like Spike Cohen says, it is simple for people to understand. I just couldn't let Larry Kudlow get away with that. Apparently he does every day on Fox Business. I'll be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. So I guess we've got another installment. News just said. I know it just... It's pretty tough for us central Mississippians, or just Mississippians in general, who know the con man that Benny Thompson is, to hear him opening up these proceedings with the January 6th dog and pony show, this heavily produced, much CTV. I was surprised. They said 20 million people tuned into that thing. I was surprised it was that much. I think they're going to have flagging ratings. They're going to need to do something to juice it up. We might have to have another event, and we kind of had one. More on that in just a second. Boy, there's something took place, I guess, over the weekend and the last week. Boy, it stinks. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that I heard on one of the local news talking points, I believe it was here on one of the local affiliates, they were talking about it, and they couched the January 6th incursion into the Capitol, would probably be the best description for it that I could think of, as an organized plot. You know, you hear a lot about this. This was a plot to overthrow the government, a coup. And it's almost interesting to me that anybody would think that would really accept that. I mean, how many of the Trump supporters out there were probably gun owners? Wouldn't you think that 80%? Is a conservative number of the people that were out there who own guns in their household. Yet nobody bothered to bring a gun to overthrow the U.S. government. Doesn't that seem a tad odd to anybody on the left who's trying to couch this as some organized thing to overthrow the government, but they didn't think to bring any guns? They just came and they thought they were going to take over the U.S. government with flags, flagpoles, shoes. I mean... I find that a little interesting to think. It's a bit of a reach. I would imagine if there was an organized plot to overthrow the U.S. government, they might bring a gun, but they didn't. But one of the greatest or the most interesting things to me about this is the idea that we are, or that the Democrats say, and anybody, not just Democrats, I guess, we've got Liz Cheney and Adam Kitzinger and some of the more, you know, conservative ink people, they are telling you that this is all about preserving our democracy, right? There's so much talk in Washington, D.C. and on the mainstream media about preserving democracy. You know, they talk about preserving the democracy and defending the democracy of Ukraine. What democracy is that exactly? They're known to be the fourth most corrupt country in the world. They shut down several independent media outlets there. Zelensky, the current president there, did. They don't allow gay people to get married in Ukraine, something I saw last week, if that's true. But we're told this is some loving democracy in Ukraine. But what is the democracy? I'm not a fan of democracy. I don't know if that's a trigger statement to people, but as it's been described, democracy is two wolves and the sheep trying to decide what's for dinner. You know, democracy, I don't believe, because 51% of people believe something, that I am somehow now their subject and they can decide the course of my life because 51% of them agree with something. But we're told we're trying to defend this democracy. And I'm wondering which one they're actually talking about. Is this the democracy? You know, and democracy infers this idea that we all get together and we all agree, hey, we're going to put this to a vote, and whoever wins, then that's the law of the land, right? This is the idea of democracy. If you have a classroom and you're voting for class president, whoever gets the most votes becomes the class president. That's democracy. And yet we're in a country right now that we're seeing the horrific inflation that we're seeing right now because our country is run by money printers who we never voted for that are currently eroding the value of all of your earnings out there. We never voted for these people, yet Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, is one of the most, if not the most powerful man on planet Earth for deciding the fate of billions of people around the planet. They never voted for this guy. He is running the show. Now, I know everybody wants to blame Joe Biden alone for this inflation. I debunk this daily on the show. I would imagine most people who want to continue to do that to maybe have left the show a long time ago. But we never voted for these people in the Federal Reserve. They've got governors all over the country who make these decisions on interest rates. They've been making money printing decisions for the last 50 years. None of us voted for any of those people. Is this the democracy we're trying to defend? Is it the democracy with all of the COVID restrictions? Now, some governors and some petty tyrants in local jurisdictions just out of whole cloth just made up rules and decided, just implemented things. And you know who enforced them? Their enforcers, the police. But largely, these things were driven by health authorities, people at the CDC. We never voted for any of these people. We never voted. We never gave acquiescence. We never decided that the CDC should have the power to stop foreclosures and evictions from homes. We didn't vote for that. There's no basis in anything except the CDC says so. Is that the democracy that we're fighting for? We have got endless in this country, all of us subject to these things. Endless regulations and laws and dictates from regulatory bodies and agencies. Nobody voted for these things. Is this the democracy they're talking about? Do you understand your life is probably, on a daily basis, affected more by unnamed agencies and bureaucrats than even the politicians that you did go vote for? You know, we are not a democracy, have never been one. We've been a republic, and we're barely that at this point. Is the democracy that they're trying to defend, is it this empire that nobody voted for? Most Americans don't want it. Even conservatives, as lustful for a huge, powerful military as they've been, most of them, outside of the really rabid neocons, have understood we don't need to be the policemen of the world, send our kids halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand for somebody else's borders. Yet we have been given these endless wars that even our elected representatives, if you wanted to call us a republic, we elect people and we send them up there. Even these elected representatives that we send to Washington, they haven't voted for any of these things. Yet these wars just continue on. This empire just keeps getting built. Is that the democracy we're supposedly trying to protect with these January 6th hearings? And it is just amazing to me that really we're not a democracy. Never have been. Founding fathers knew the danger of democracy, and we're barely a republic at this point. We're not even a capitalist country. We talked for so long about being, you know, we are the great bastion of capitalism. That hasn't even been true for decades and decades and decades. You don't have a central bank printing up money and handing it to their politicians so they can give it out to their donor class. That's not capitalism. That's cronyism. That's corporatism. That's fascism. And so essentially nothing that we are told that we are is actually what we are. It's all PR and spin just to try to trick us. And as long as people can keep your toys, they're going to keep getting away with it. But the thing is that I think we're approaching a point now, and this may be why they're trying to disarm us, where you're going to lose a lot of your toys too. You know, when the standard of living, when you have this debt-based Ponzi scheme that we've been working on for decades and decades, it's made people feel kind of wealthy. I'm telling you, this inflation, what's coming down the pike right now at us financially right now, it's coming for the country club types too. When they're uncomfortable, it's going to be interesting. As an observer, I like to see how people react to things where they go, When the country club types are now equally uncomfortable, it'll be interesting to see how they react. No knock on them. I love country club types. A lot of very successful people that have worked very hard to get there, but they've been able to kind of really disengage. They didn't care that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. They don't care about the endless wars. They don't care about those things because they've really been doing quite well, and I don't really even fault them for that. You got to live your life. What happens? How engaged does the country club class get when suddenly they realize their life, they're taking a bit on the chin too? It's going to be interesting to see. But I'm just not sure exactly what this democracy that we keep being told that we are, this idea of just the people's voice being expressed through the vote and that vote being implemented, and that's, you know, what the January 6th was supposedly going to disrupt our democracy. And yet I look around and think there is nothing democratic about some of the things that really affect our lives. There's nothing democratic about money printing done behind closed doors by an organization, the Federal Reserve, that refuses an audit. They won't even tell the taxpayers what they're doing. This is no one knows who owns the Federal Reserve. We know it's the big banks, but we're not sure exactly who and how much they own. There's nothing transparent about this. There's nothing democratic about the CDC coming out and saying you can't evict a non-paying tenant for 18 months. None of this stuff is democracy, so I'm not sure exactly what it is they're protecting. But as I said, they are, I would imagine, is this an 8-episode miniseries with the January 6th thing? I guess the ABC guy. They got a former Good Morning America producer to produce these things, make them all spit-shined and pretty. I guess he's done the research. Look, we've been doing Survivor, and we do 12 episodes, and that seems a little long. I think 8 episodes of this thing is really what you want for must-see TV. That's what they've decided, but I think their ratings are going to flag. It's got to be wildly repetitive. I'm not watching it, so I don't really know. But they're going to need to do something to spice it up. And this past weekend, we had an arrest. I'm going to talk about this arrest that we saw over the weekend of some more troublemakers on the right. Did you see this thing? I'm going to talk about it when we get back. This one really smells bad. All right, I've got it from 10 to 10:30 basically on Friday set aside for False Flag Friday, but I got to tell you, I think I've got a False Flag Friday breaking news report. If I was Fox News, I'd give you all kinds of showy graphics and sounds. Ba-boom! Something along those lines. Did you see this arrest of the men in the U-Haul? We'll play the story real quick. This is what happened. I can't remember if it was the end of last week or this weekend. Days fly by, but they busted another plot. Here's the story of what took place.
New tonight, 31 men arrested in Coeur d'Alene this afternoon associated with the known white supremacist group. Officers found members of the group known as Patriot Front packed into the back of a U-Haul after they received a tip from someone seeing the group loading into the truck in a hotel parking lot. Officers stopped.
Because, you know, I mean, if you're going to go do what they're about to accuse them of, you do this in the middle of the day. You get all in your costumes and you file one by one into the back of a U-Haul truck in front of a parking lot full of hotel guests. Of course, that's what you do.
Up the U-Haul near a Pride event. According to our news partners KXLY in Spokane, Coeur d'Alene police had stepped up presence in the area of the Pride event due to concerns of possible armed protesters.
We did know about some of the threats that were happening online, and yes, there were people walking around the event with long guns and handguns and bear spray and all kinds of things like that. None of that's illegal in Idaho. It's only to the point when they start using it that we grow really concerned.
Police say they found
none of that's illegal in Idaho. Only when they use it is when it's a cause for concern. But we went ahead and arrested them anyway, pre-crime and all.
Riot gear, a smoke grenade, shin guards, and shields, along with plans for riots in several areas of downtown, not just at that park. All 31 men have been charged with conspiracy to riot.
In my opinion, I would gladly arrest 31 individuals who are coming to riot in our city for a misdemeanor rather than have them participate in some sort of seriously disruptive event, which is exactly what they were planning.
Police say the men currently detained came from at least 11 states, including Idaho. Additional charges could be filed. All 31 are expected to be arraigned Monday morning.
Now, this is an audio format. You're going to have to do a little bit of your own research, but you need to check out the arrest of these people. Now, I'm no law enforcement dude, but it was a very interesting arrest to me. It was done in great, very, very visible. They foiled another plot. Somebody saw them. Again, for some reason, these people decided to just load up in the middle of the day, and they're all in their costumes. They've got face masks on. They've got some body armor on, but they obviously are nothing official, and they're walking single file in front of a parking lot full of hotel guests. They're filing into a U-Haul and then slamming the door shut. So they made about as big a spectacle as they could of getting into this truck, and then somebody alerted the authorities. But what's interesting about the arrest, and again, I don't have any law enforcement background, but as they were handcuffing these people, they allowed them to keep their backpacks on. They allowed them to continue to keep their faces covered. Some of them that I saw in handcuffs had their faces fully covered, sunglasses on, and backpacks still on their backs as they were being handcuffed. They seemed very docile. They weren't really causing any problems. I mean, it almost looked like if you were just doing a video of how to arrest people, you know, police officers arresting other police officers just to do a video of showing you just the procedure, putting handcuffs on. It's really a very calm event. And this is, of course, it's a white supremacist targeted thing. Again, now, you should see in the video of the arrest what the sheriff's deputies are wearing. They set up kind of a perimeter around this. They are wearing the full-on stormtrooper costumes. They've got kind of the Batman, looks like the heavy-duty rubber stuff on their forearms and on their shins. Strangely enough, some of these guys that were arrested also had similar garb on as well. But these sheriff's deputies look like full-on stormtroopers. But everybody was involved in this, from the FBI down to the local police department to the sheriff's department. And I never pass up what I believe are teachable moments for conservatives. I've talked about these a lot on this show, times where you should... things that should make you stop and go, hmm. And I'm not just talking about the suspiciousness of this event. I mean, if these guys were really intent on causing chaos at this gay pride parade, you would think maybe they'd find a way to, I don't know, put your stuff in the back of the U-Haul first. Don't get all gigged up. Don't put your costume on before you get in there. And maybe just occasionally somebody slides in. You know, they did this, everything they could possibly do to draw as much attention to them as possible in going out for this thing so that somebody would call in a tip. It appears to me, but I could be wrong. But let me tell you, every part of law enforcement was involved in this. There were sheriffs out there. I saw people from the police department, from the federal government, the FBI. And this undying love for law enforcement. Again, there was a story out last week. I don't remember the officer's name. I should. It's too bad. We had a hero cop die last week. He responded to a call about a domestic disturbance, and the guy was shot in the head. That is a hero police officer. He came into the domestic disputes known to be very dangerous situations for law enforcement, and it was one human being attacking another one, exactly what the police are there for, to try to protect the American citizens in our community. And this police officer, apparently by himself, tried to engage this guy that was attacking a woman, and the man, the aggressor in the situation, shot and killed him. That is a hero police officer, and police officers do heroic work all the time. But to me, it's a teachable moment that I think you're going to see unfold, whether it's January 6th, whether it is this bust here, your undying love for law enforcement and everything that it ever does. And this is what we've seen. I believe, and I've said it many times, conservatives have largely created the police state that they are rolling out on you now. Now, I think this one sure as hell seems like it's got all the earmarks of a complete false flag. It's got informants. They had informants in with the group advising them. Now, this was just a citizen who apparently called in the tip that they were all in their costumes loading into a U-Haul in the middle of the day. But they kind of knew about this group already because they had informants on the inside. Now, this is just my personal opinion. The guys seemed all kind of all right with the arrest, and I found it odd that they were allowed to keep their sunglasses and their full face coverings on, along with their backpacks, as they were being arrested. Usually, you kind of take, you know, that stuff's taken away from you. You would kind of think that maybe allowing somebody to be handcuffed and then put into a paddy wagon with their backpack is not a great idea, I would think. But again, I'm not any law enforcement. But every bit of law enforcement participated in this, and what January 6th and events like this should be showing you is that what we saw there in response to 9/11, the war on terror, where they sold you this idea that you needed to give police powers, more and more equipment, more surveillance technology, more informants, more this, more that, that law enforcement was there to protect you from those evil, radical brown people from halfway around the world that were hell-bent on taking all of our stuff and killing all of us infidels. That mechanism was set up ultimately for you. Now, libertarians were jumping up and down on the sidelines as Patriot Act was going through, as National Defense Authorization was going through, as you had Republicans and conservatives selling you that this was the war on terror and it was your patriotic duty to support the Patriot Act. And libertarians were saying, don't do this. There's all kinds of, you want to talk about a slippery slope, things like the Patriot Act. These are slippery, slippery, slippery slopes. Well, now we've slid down them. And conservatives need to wake up to the police state that they have built. Applaud the police for all their heroic work. The police officer who died last week trying to defend a woman in a domestic dispute, that guy, we should attend his funeral. He should get all of the accolades that he has got coming for him. He sacrificed his life in the service to another human being. But much of what law enforcement does is just enforce. I keep saying this over and over again, but these are teachable moments. Go look at this arrest of these guys in Idaho. Tell me if it doesn't stink. It's awfully convenient for the narrative right now, isn't it? It's Pride Month. We've got a bunch of supposed, air quotes here in the studio, white supremacists that we're about to go out and attack a gay pride. It carries the narrative perfectly. A little too perfectly, if you ask me. But go take a look at the arrest, and particularly if you're in law enforcement, go take a look at the arrest and tell me if there's anything just a tad odd. Do you let your, when you arrest somebody, do you allow them to keep their faces covered and their sunglasses on? Do you allow them to keep their backpacks and their body armor on? I'm just curious. It just seems weird to me, but I could be completely off on that. But the police state that has been built by largely the conservative segment of society that has cheered for every power given to law enforcement because you always trusted, you always believed they'd never use it on us. Don't pay any attention to the fact that I sent somebody the other day, there's a story about a veteran, guy who had served, was going cross country, didn't trust banks. He had $100,000 with him in his car. He gets pulled over. He tells the people, hey, look, I've got some cash in my car, actually quite a lot of cash. And the cop says, well, do you mind if I search? And he goes, no, I don't mind. I don't have anything to hide from you guys. Well, they find this bag with $100,000 cash in it. It's a veteran who just said, I don't trust the banks. I'm moving from one place to another, and I'm just taking this money with me. Well, they end up hemming and hawing about it and decided, you know what? You don't need that cash. They took every nickel of it. They just took it. This was a veteran. He has no suspicion of drug ties. He wasn't acting odd during the arrest. He was being as cooperative as he could. But the police, the highway patrol, and the DEA, you know, law enforcement, descended upon this guy and explained to him very nicely and cordially, hey, we're going to take your stuff because we can. They left this guy penniless on the side of the road. He had to get somebody to wire him money just to get where he was trying to go. They just took his $100,000. Now, this has been sold to you, not in the war on terror, but the war on drugs. And libertarians have been on the sidelines waving our arms going, quit giving them all this power. We've gone from 3,000 SWAT raids a year to 85,000 SWAT raids a year now. Supposedly, in this war on terror and war on drugs and conservatives, you've been cheering for it, and now is the teachable moment. This has all been designed for you. I did the story last week where somebody with the Mississippi Sheriff's Association said they stand ready to enforce any new gun safety measures that come down. You need to start having very serious conversations with your sheriff, or when you are voting for sheriff next time, you better start finding out exactly where they stand on this carrying out orders thing. Just doing my job. Because I saw a lot of police officers in this what appears to me incredibly bogus event of the arrest in Idaho. I saw a lot of police officers, a lot of sheriff's deputies just doing their job. Participating in this theater of a supposed white supremacist violent gang. They were just doing their job. They were participating in what I believe is a completely false event. And I ran across this as well. This is a... apparently we just had another anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting, and there's a little something in this. It's been a long time since that happened. I'm not sure how much I covered that one when it happened. There was some weirdness around the Pulse nightclub shooting, too. This guy, Greg Price, had tweeted out, on the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting, the second most deadly mass shooting in our country's history, may we never forget that the shooter was taken off the FBI terror watch list 2 years prior and that his father was literally an FBI informant for over a decade. Huh. Your love and blind support for law enforcement, no matter what happens, is going to be used against you. It was used to create the police state you now find yourself in, whether it's January 6th, or whether it's these, what I believe is a false flag arrest of these supposed white supremacists in Idaho, it is being rolled out on you. Praise law enforcement. Tell them to focus in on combating property crimes, solving crimes of people who hurt each other. But the rest of this stuff that you've emboldened law enforcement to do, which is, and again, law enforcement is just code for if a politician gets together, a bunch of them get together and pass a law to boss you around or decide how you live your life, the police say we'll enforce it. If gun control measures come down the pike, they'll enforce that too. See, you can reform law enforcement like you can reform politics, but it's a little uncomfortable. We're used to just being in love with these people, but saying that everything they do is right. They never do anything wrong. Even when they choked out the guy in New York for selling Lucy cigarettes, I saw conservatives coming to the defense of the police. Well, he shouldn't have resisted. Guy was selling loose cigarettes. Do you not think that in America you should be able to buy a pack of cigarettes and sell one or two of them? You've paid the taxes on the pack. Do you not own that cigarette now? Buying it from the store? Can you not decide what to do with that cigarette? In the United States of America, you can't decide to do what you want to do with the cigarettes that were in that pack. It is a police event now, and they killed Eric Garner in New York City, and I watched conservatives say he shouldn't have resisted. I believe you're going to find a time where a lot of people look back at our history of the United States the last 30, 40, 50 years as we built this police state around the war on drugs and the war on terror and say, we all should have resisted this. We all should have stood up and said, no, this has gone too far. Praise the heroic work of law enforcement, but you better be suspicious of a lot of things they're being tasked with these days. Be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I was looking at my notes here as I do these unpopular things. Let's see what I've done. Let's see if I've checked all the boxes today of a of a radical troublemaker on conservative radio. I told anybody who's taking Social Security, you're actually taking stolen money from younger generations. That's always popular. I'm challenging law enforcement continually on this show, I might add, because I believe this is a teachable moment. I can't say this enough. There's police officers, sheriffs that I just really like. Great guys. I have these conversations with them. I've done this. I've talked about doing security, doing a parking lot down at the fair several years. Well, I have JPD with me. I hire off-duty police officers to run security for me down there because I've got cash. And many times we find ourselves just sitting in a chair. It's not real busy or the parking lot's full and we're sitting there and we're just chatting. And I will talk to them about how abhorrent I think the war on drugs is. I talk to police officers. Don't you think you're put in so much more danger with this war on drugs because it basically creates gangs? And where do they get their money to buy all of these advanced weapons that these young kids in inner city neighborhoods have got? Where do they get that money? They get it from the black market drug trade. The war on drugs has made the average life of law enforcement wildly more perilous than it would be without it. They're not getting shot by people driving Bud Light trucks. An Anheuser-Busch truck rolls down 220. They don't have to pull it over. Cops don't have to risk their lives pulling it over. And so I'll have these conversations with law enforcement, too. Great people in law enforcement, but it is the people who demand exactly how our law enforcement is used. It's people who demand how our military is used. Our military is misused, too. All of these things, how law enforcement is used, how our military is used, they are used as the enforcement arm of a corrupt political class. We should stop that. That's all I'm saying. Not scared of getting into more unpopular stuff. I did find this a little funny. There's a story out. Now, this was on Variety.com. I have not independently verified this, but I don't doubt it, to be honest with you. Trump's Truth Social is banning users who post about January 6th hearing. There have been people. Now, they've had screenshots of Truth Social saying your account has been suspended. And it led me to look at this. Truth Social's terms of service state, quote, "We reserve the right to, in our sole discretion and without notice of or liability, deny access to and use of the service, parentheses, including blocking certain IP addresses to any person for any reason or for no reason. We may terminate your use or participation in the service or delete your account and any content or information that you posted at any time without warning in our sole discretion." It's basically the exact same terms of service that Twitter has. Now, maybe there's an idea. Well, of course, I mean, you're going to have some people that do things that are not acceptable to any of us. Threats of violence. I would expect any site would take those things down, but is Truth Social actually censoring people on the left who are going into that platform? You know, a lot of people say, I stay on Twitter because that's where the battle is. That's where they are. I've got to be in the culture wars. I've got to be on Twitter. I know I have my own fatwa against social media across the board. I don't participate in it. But people say they got to be there. Well, I got to tell you, I'm sure the left is lining up to get into Truth Social so they can be in the battle as well. So here's the funny thing. Here's what's happening. The bubbles are being reinforced. You got Truth Social is going to ban anybody who says something that Truth Social and the Trump side doesn't like. And you got Twitter, who is going to ban anybody on the right that says something they don't like, so they can just harden your bubbles even further. And I was suspicious of Truth Social being this bastion of free speech when I read the piece by Andrew Torba. I think that's his name, isn't it? That runs Gab, where he invited Donald Trump to come over to Gab when he got banned from Twitter. And the Trump team said, no, not unless you agree to censor any anti-Israel voices on Gab. They actually wanted censorship on Gab in order for Trump to participate on that site. So it would not surprise me that there is censorship going on in Truth Social as well. So anyway, take that for what it's worth. It may not be that bastion of free speech we had all thought it might be. All right, final segment for the day. We'll talk a little bit about Bitcoin taking a prison pounding today. It's down about 12-13%. I'll do Tech Tuesday tomorrow. I'm probably going to talk a little bit about that. I may try to get Steven Utroska, my crypto consigliere, on, see if he'll come and explain to us what's going on. We had him on a couple of weeks ago when Luna, one of the cryptos, crashed and burned and went down to zero. So somebody had invested $1.3 billion into Luna. When I did the story, their stake was worth $3,200 and something dollars, I think. From $1.3 billion to $3,000. That's got to hurt, I got to tell you. So we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow, see where crypto is going. But I wanted to bring this up, too. Can't ignore this. Did people see this story about Justin Bieber? Reveals he has got Ramsay Hunt syndrome and his face is partially paralyzed. Now, this was interesting just because this is only a couple of months after his girlfriend was released from the hospital after a blood clot was found on her brain. So a blood clot on the brain for one, facial paralysis in another. These are two young, healthy, certainly in appearance, two young, healthy adults. What are the chances they both are stricken by these kinds of conditions in such rapid succession? I don't know the vaccination status. I guess I should have done my due diligence and look up. But I got to say, I saw something in reference to that. They said your chances of getting Ramsay-Hunt syndrome post COVID vaccination was 157 times what it is in the general population. So either Justin Bieber and his girlfriend or his wife, Hailey Bieber, are wildly unlucky people. She apparently had her blood clot back in March, April, May, June, within a quarter. Within a quarter of the year, they're both stricken by symptoms that are widely associated with the COVID shots. The Biden administration said this week it is diverting more than $10 billion in COVID-19 testing and relief funds to buy more COVID-19 vaccines and treatments. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 82 million doses of the vaccine have gone to waste since the December 2020 rollout. Well, I got to tell you, that's the best use of those vaccines out of all the ones produced. The 82 million that found their way into the trash can, I believe that is the best fate for those things, and I'm proud that, I guess that would be 41 million Americans, since those are two-dose regimens. Or what was it now? Were you up to four doses? I really haven't been paying attention, to be honest with you. Anybody on their fifth? Has anybody taken their fifth dose yet? They are retooling. Moderna has come out and said they have got a shot that's coming out that will address these new variants, since they have shown that the current vaccines have no bearing on the latest variant. So they're going to retool and come back at you. I would imagine I'll bet you it's going to be pretty swift. As soon as they find these shots for the new variants, I'll bet you we have a new surprising variant. We got to have the CDC and the FDA. As I told you, they are just vaccine sales organizations. They are not at all about public health. More about that on Wednesday, every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I was going to just float something else out there to you, something I did. If you're looking for a kind of a palate cleanser, I found something this weekend that is going to be a part of either my weekly or probably a couple of times a month routine for detoxing from the toxicity of the world that surrounds us right now. And it is about sports ball. I don't know how this happened, but I was on YouTube and I stumbled across the 1992 NFC Championship. This was between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. I've never been a Cowboys fan. Ugh. Sorry, Cowboys fans. But I'm not a San Francisco fan either. I was an original Oakland Raiders fan. I lost a lot of interest in NFL. I'd like to see the Saints do well or Atlanta do well just because I have some connections to those towns and they're in the Southeast, but nothing passionate about it. When players started switching teams all the time, they really lost me. I liked the character of a team and the original Oakland Raiders. They were the rebels. They were the hardcore guys. They were the guys on the sidelines smoking a cigarette. Even at a very, very, very young age, I was attracted to that. That may explain a lot of my views from today. I just rebel. I'm anti-establishment, always have been. I tried to become a yuppie, and I didn't like it. I took about 4 or 5 years experiment. I thought that's what I wanted, and I kind of got there, and I went, ooh, I don't like this at all. Doesn't make me feel good at all. Now I've become kind of a hippie, still, I guess, an outlaw. Maybe this is part of my problem with just blanket support for law enforcement. Anyway, what I did, I stumbled across this football game. What was great about this 1992 NFC Championship was that I watched every one of the commercials. No fast forwarding. This was a full replay of the television broadcast at the time. And it was really quite interesting to watch the commercials from 1992. Boy, the cars were much uglier back then. But it was all the new cars that had come out, and they were, I think one of them might have been a K car that they were hawking as this great new advance in automotive technology. But it was just interesting. All of the commercials, but there was no politics. There was no nothing. And I'm telling you, I am somebody who definitely would go back. If I go to sleep tonight and before I woke up, someone said, hey, you can go back to whatever year you want to go back to. I don't know. I'd reemerge in 2022, to be honest with you. I'd go back and look. This was just really relaxing. I never remember who wins these games either, so this is a benefit that I have. For those of you who follow football, it would take me a little while to figure out who won the Super Bowl earlier this year. I just really don't have the room in my brain to store those things, but that makes it fantastic. I can go watch an old game and still not know what the outcome is. Some of the YouTube videos have got, you know, Dallas hands somebody their butts in this, you know, championship game. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch that one because you spoiled it for me in the title. I can go watch these games like they're brand new. The pads were bigger back then because the technology wasn't as good. It's just very interesting. I found a few old Raiders games, too. Don't tell me who wins. I'm going to go back and watch some of those. But if you're looking for just a palate cleanser, you know, sports balls getting a little vacant these days, this is something I might recommend. I thought it was kind of good for my mental health. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how